following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
On our, was it May 24th, Wednesday?
No, it's Wednesday, May 25th.
May 25th edition.
In the year of our Lord.
End of the world edition.
Yes, that's actually one of the news items today.
We're broadcasting at the end of the world.
Yeah, we're at the end of the world, on the edge of the world.
It's the post-end of the world show.
Yeah, exactly.
For the radio at World's End.
Yeah. Who knew heaven would look so much like Long Island?
Yeah.
So this is your host, Mark Torres speaking.
Hi, Mark.
In the studio, I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to me, sporting his interesting outfit today.
Yes.
His sunny outfit.
This was my, oh my God, I'm late, throw anything that's close on.
And I have Hassan Godwin sitting across from us.
Hello.
The man that is Hermann Schnurcher
is on assignment.
he didn't survive the rapture.
Consignment, yeah. No, he got taken.
Oh, he got taken.
He's one of the people who were...
He thought it was the rapture, but it really was the aliens coming back.
They missed a couple of things. His underwear.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us on the webcam, which is, you just click says, watch us live, and you can see us in 10-second intervals with us crazy outfits we're wearing today. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. All right, so let me...
Get away with the news, Mark.
Yes, let me...
Do you have any news today, Mark?
I do.
Oh.
Actually, there's not much news. There's not much news.
When the world doesn't end like you expect it to, then no one really... no one does anything newsworthy.
Mark was saying, since the world's ending, I'm not getting news. Oh, no, it didn't end. Now I have to get news.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people spent their life savings on things.
They thought it was going to end. A lot of stupid people.
Well, it did end. The world did end for them financially.
Yeah, but the reverend, whoever the guy who predicted that it was supposed to be the end of the world, he came up with a new date.
Yeah, of course he did.
October 21st of this year.
Of course he did. How insane is that?
He said that he made a mathematical error. He forgot to carry the one or something, and so it's supposed
to be. That's what he said the last time.
Yeah, but that was years off. What was it, 86? 96? It was a while ago.
Well, okay, let's give him his track record. Don't take your money out of the bank. Unless you need
Besides,
it.
Besides, who cares? Why do you keep taking your money out of the bank in the first place? The world's going to end.
Well, you're going to spend it all. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, where are you going to spend
it? Spending
for what?
Maxing out their credit
card. Whatever you're going to buy, you're not going to have when you die.
Well, they want to, I guess, screw
it. Have it for a little while, please.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
As a minister friend of mine once put it, I've yet to see a U-Haul following a hearse.
Exactly.
There you go.
So the new, he's claiming the new day is October 21st. That'll be the end of the world, so.
I've also heard he claims that he wasn't really wrong about Saturday. It's just that he thought it was going to be the full rapture, and instead it was just God making up his mind about what he was going to do next.
Wow.
So, all I can say is that I remember the turn of the last century. My God rest her soul, late grandmother told me how this one religious clique, I forget which one they were, but they became convinced it was the end of the world. It was the same thing, only more so. They sold all their possessions, and they put on the ash cloth and the burlap, and they went up to the top of the local hills and mountains on the appointed day, and they lit bonfires, And as the sun went down, there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments. And the moon came up, and this moon wheeled round, and the stars swirled, and the moon went down, and the sun came up, and everyone looked at each other and felt kind of embarrassed, came off the hills, and somehow didn't want to talk about it.
They went about their business.
Yeah.
How do you backpedal from that?
Well, how do you? That's what he said. Whoops, I forgot to carry the one.
I only said,
on.
Yeah, but you have to do that from a bunker. You can't do that.
I got my best burlap out for this.
You can't do that in front of the congregation. Yeah. Like, well.
I'm so distraught. I had to take medicinal leave in the south of France.
Exactly.
On Ulalali Topless Beach.
And by the way, I was wrong. It's coming in October.
Yeah, by the way.
I got to go to the bathroom.
By the way.
See you in October, that's what he says.
Out back where my car is.
I'll be right back in here.
Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's coming in October, and at the very end of the month, you'll see all the little goblins and demons running around, and they'll be stealing candy from you. Watch out for the renowned war cry of trick or treat!
There's one guy in the back. Isn't that? No, it's not.
It's the end of the world.
But don't we do that every day?
No, it's the end of the world.
Alright, so speaking of the end of the world,
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of the end of the world.
Our friends at geekgirl.com,
Geek,
you remember we did an interview with they are,
are they all our friends, or is just the one we interviewed?
Well, just the one we interviewed.
Okay, so
well, I guess their company is a friend of our company.
Well done.
They are designing and are selling limited edition art prints to support the Japanese Red Cross for tsunami relief.
Oh, how nice.
New prints will show up each month between now and October, and every design is original and created with Geek Girls in mind. So if you like Geek Girls and Geek Girl stuff, you can go to the website and buy some stuff. Prints are 11 by 17, suitable for framing, and available for only $10.
Wow.
They hope to raise $1,500 for Japan Red Cross by October 10th, 2011, which is the date of their con. For more information, go to geekgirlcon.com. So that's kind of nice of them, see?
I may go there and get my 11 by 14.
Yeah, you know, a little $10. It's good, cool for a good cause, and it's original artwork, so that's good stuff.
It's great.
I have some news after you're done, so remind me about it.
He's got news about the news.
That's the news I'm trolling.
He's got news. He's got news that can't lose.
All right, so this is the big item. It actually covered almost 2 pages of stuff. So
almost 2 pages.
Yeah,
it's almost worth the whole show. All
right, so speaking of original artwork.
Original artwork, Mr. Segway.
finally.
My line. You're stepping on my line.
Yeah, I did the line again.
Saladino.
It was the drugs. They kicked in. I'm sorry.
finally.
Finally. The Rock has returned to Long Island.
Mr. Jurgenstein, if we remember Mr. Jurgenstein.
Not the Mr. Jurgenstein.
Yes, the Mr. Jurgenstein. For those of you who don't remember, Mr. Jurgenstein is the pseudonym that we have dubbed him.
Yes.
For the guy running around.
Claiming that artwork is his. Stolen artwork is his.
Right. Well, he doesn't steal it. He takes the artwork and he claims it.
He buys it from them and then claims it's his.
Or he just photocopies it and Xeroxes and writes his name over the stuff. So he's been plagiarizing. Plagiarizing stuff. He finally sat down with Bleeding Cool, a reputable comic book website, fan site, for an interview. And according to the interview, which he did not get paid for, by the way, I'm going to put that out because I remember the last time we mentioned that he was charging for interviews to get stuff. So here are the highlights. And the reason why it's so long is you'll find out why. The highlights. Question number one. You mentioned that you worked as a ghost artist on covers for many major DC and Marvel titles.
Well, who was the interviewer?
Bleeding Cool.
Is it one guy?
Right. From Bleeding Cool.
Is that how he sounds? Because you're doing the voice.
Yes, that's the official report of that voice.
I was like, okay, good.
You mentioned that you've worked as a ghost artist on covers for many DC and Marvel titles. That is untrue. Can you explain people why you tell people that? And he says, I completely misexplained the answer, and I totally get why I messed up, so I'm sorry. What I meant to explain is that I did ghost layouts for cover recreations of those issues. That's all. I was in a rush when I first got those questions that you sent me, packing up for a show, and I just breezed through it. I should have taken the time to tell you, a buddy of mine did the cover recreations for certain collections, and at certain cons, and I did ghost work on those for him.
Wait.
So that's there. Yeah, so
let me interrupt you there. He's saying that someone was doing cover recreations. In other words, someone was taking the covers of actual existing books,
right,
and then redrawing them for right. whatever reason that someone would do that,
right.
And he's saying he helped the recreations,
yes,
of those recreations.
Right.
The recreation.
So basically, what it is let's say Charlie made a drawing of a stick figure. Okay. Fighting somebody,
right?
And it becomes famous. You know, world famous is an old print. It's worth $90.
No original.
Now Hassan is like, well, no one's going to be able to afford that original. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to create an homage to this drawing using the same, you know, poses and try to get it in the same style that you did. And he needed help, so he asked me to help him do the work. That's what he's saying. So basically, he helped out a guy do recreations of.
I'm suing him anyway.
I'm confused as to why anybody would want to buy a recreation in the first place instead of, like, let's say, a Xerox or a litho of the original art that at least you know is a recreation of the original art. Why would someone want to buy something from someone who redrew it? And the other person, his buddy, who I'm assuming is going to completely continue to remain nameless.
Right.
Okay, so we don't even know if his buddy is a known artist.
Right.
So why would, theoretically, let's just say for the sake of argument that he is unknown.
Saying, right.
The same as Jerkenstein. So
right. Jerkenstein Jr.
Why would you buy a piece of original, a recreation of original art from an unknown?
Right, I got you. I'm with you.
Why would you pay money for that?
I think the idea was that he was saying that with his stuff.
And it's a substantial faux pas if you meant to explain that I helped this guy do a recreation of it and it came out, I drew this cover for Marvel. I don't see how you.
How do you make that connection? He said he messed up.
Rushing questions. Well, you know me. Yeah. And my wife Angelina Jolie are going to the diner after the show. I want everybody to come along with us.
Like saying if you were married to Angelina Jolie as opposed to marrying a lookalike of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, or just not being married at all.
Or the designer of.
Well, what I was trying to say was I was going to go to the supermarket after the show, but it came out I'm married to Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. It gets better.
You know what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I can't. I don't want to interrupt the rest.
No. This is.
Hold it! I didn't want to tell you guys this, but I'm Brad Pitt.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Do you mean that you're Brad Pitt or that your daughter bought you that shirt?
I am Brad Pitt. That's the shirt that
I. Did I say I was Brad Pitt?
You kind of did say you were Brad Pitt.
No, I'm sorry. I'm Rulalenska.
that clears it all up.
All right, so there's more.
Oh, my God.
Second question. You also said you were working with top writer Jay Didillo on a new Batman book.
Diodato.
No. This is the name he said.
Didillo.
D-I-D-I-L-L. Didillo.
Oh, okay.
M-I-S-S-I-P-P. Yeah.
The head of DC would be...
Diodato.
Right, Junior. Diodato. On a new Batman book. DC denies any knowledge of such a book or such a person exists. Can you explain? All right, and he goes on to say, yeah, again, this is something else I didn't explain when I should have. And it's blown up in my face. This is his excuse. I love this. I met an editor at a con a few months back, and he gave me his card. And as best as I can remember, his name sounded like that. He said he was looking for up-and-coming artists for a Batman book about different eras of Batman or whatever, and he would keep me in mind. It happened. I just lost his card, and I can't remember any of the specific details, but nobody can prove it didn't happen. I'm sorry my memory isn't absolutely perfect, but I meet a lot of people at shows.
You know what this reminds me of? Mm-hmm. This reminds me of my cousin Vinny. When he kept trying to BS the judge, and then the judge finally gets him with the Gallo that he told him, and Gallo, he finds out Gallo is dead, and then he goes, no, I didn't say Gallo. I said Gallo. Gallo's dead. Why would I say him? This sounds exactly like what him. It
is. So basically his response was, yeah, I met some guy who I think is this guy, and I lost any type of proof that I met this guy.
Yeah, but I still said it in an interview so I could sound important.
Exactly.
Right.
So
you're a moron.
And it gets better.
But wait a minute. Like he said that he did work for this guy.
He said that he
Didello.
Was working for this top writer.
Okay, so how does that... How do you tell someone you're working for someone whose name you don't remember
and doesn't exist?
Let's get past. Let's say the guy did exist.
He got the name wrong.
He doesn't remember the guy's name. He got a card somewhere and he lost it.
Right.
Okay, and to the best of his knowledge, that's what the guy's name sounds like. But he's working for him. And working for someone who you have no information about whatsoever, including their name?
He uses a fake secret identity name? I don't know.
If you're working for someone, that means they're paying you for a service. Why would someone...
You should know who's writing your paycheck.
Well, not only that, if you don't know that person's name, you wouldn't have been able to cash that person's checks. You know, that person wouldn't have been able to pay you, or probably hasn't paid you, because you don't know who the person is. So you can't actually technically say you were working for anyone.
So it's like if I said, yeah, I met a Steven Spielberg's associate at a convention, instead of saying I'm working for Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I'm working for Steven Spielberg.
Stanley Soderman or something like that.
You got the assistant to Steven Spielberg's assistant. A coffee. So that means you're actually working for them.
Oh, did I say Spielberg? I meant Spielberg.
Spielberg, yeah.
And it gets better.
Wait, you didn't read this line. My doggy ate his business card.
Yeah, I don't know where that stuff is.
Yeah.
But it gets even better. It gets better.
Heart be still. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
The reporter says, you told people that you worked with Bruce Timm on Batman the Animated TV Series. That's not true. Now, for those of you who don't know, he's like the most important guy in the DC animated world. He's worked on Batman Animated Series, Justice League of America. He's like the man that brought DC Comics animation into mainstream. He's the big name. And he said that he worked with him. And he goes, that's not true. And his answer, well, I did have work in a Warner Brothers gallery. So basically, you know, they had a gallery of Warner Brothers work, and his artwork was there. Legitimately, his artwork was there. So to me... Yeah, that means I worked with Bruce Timm, in a sense, because I was working on the style he established and maintaining his level of quality. This is all I meant, and people have twisted it and taken away from how I meant it.
Because I said I worked with him.
So basically what he did, his artwork was legitimately in a gallery of Warner Brothers stuff, and he drew stuff in the style that this big name artist did.
Let me tell you something. I'm not a violent man, but if he was here, I'd knock him right through that window.
Your father was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
Yes.
He ceased being Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader. So what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
If I only had a copy of it through this whole thing, I'd be playing the theme to The Sting, the entertainer.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
But this guy's not even good at it.
This is
like the politicians of today, Democrats and Republicans or whatever. It's like, you guys don't realize we're recording all of this, do you? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's not what I said last week.
No, well, here's a clip of you saying it.
Oh, well,
I should kill all puppies.
That wasn't meant to be a factual statement.
Didn't Richard M. Nixon teach you anything?
Yeah. And do you realize, Tom, that if what you just said, if you played the Sting, you could tell people you played with Sting.
According to this guy's logic.
So actually, you know, believe it or not, that would actually be a better answer what Hassan did. That was not intended to be a factual statement. Yeah. That's actually better than what the answer what he's giving. Because that is like, you know, this is he's just trying to back weigh his out, and he's not, and he's just making it worse. So he worked in a gallery in the same style as the person who was after, so he worked with the guy.
I wish he would have just said, in preponderance of the evidence, I lied like a rug.
Yeah. Like a flea-bitten rug.
Yes.
But it gets better.
It can't get better than
it
that.
It does. So
wait, in the words of Daffy Duck, it is to laugh.
So at this point, the... the reporter is a little upset now, and he just
you think
he just comes out and asks us in this direction. You've directly swiped most of your work, in some cases dropping a little color around the edges of a photo or a scanned image, and then signing it yourself. Do you understand how this can make people who created that original work upset, or those who have purchased work only to find out it's not original as it was sold as? What do you say to them? Right, this is the big time for him to come out. And he says, oh boy.
I can't wait.
I would say, did you enjoy the piece when you bought it? Because if you didn't, you wouldn't have paid for it, you know? I'm sorry if I feel like I misled somebody, but it's only because everyone has gone crazy with bashing me. People are gonna now be upset. I worked on all of my art. In many cases, I spent so much time of it, it looks photorealistic because that's just the amount of time I put on it. Anything I said caused anger, you know, I just apologize. I should think before I speak sometime. But it's like, it is what it is. I'm an artist. I didn't know I'd be judged on everything I said. I mean, innocent until proven guilty, right? I'm serious, that still means something
but
to me.
But you have been proven guilty. So you are no longer innocent.
Oh, we gotta get this guy on the phone.
This
is your job.
Get him on the phone. The war is over. We found out that you're not truthful about anything that you said. Every statement you've made is a non-factual statement. Then you're not innocent. You're not innocent.
But
you know, it's like you're getting mad at the people for figuring out that you're shamming them, you know, that for putting two and two together. It's like, well, wait a minute, how come you guys didn't let me just breeze through here and tell all the lies I wanted and sell all the merchandise I wanted to sell and make a quick buck off of someone else's labor?
Well, doesn't know any better.
Yeah, how come you wouldn't allow me to do that? What's wrong with you people? You know, it is what it is. It is. If I'd be in jail right now. If I was the interviewer and he said it is what it is to me, I'd be in jail. I would have had to have someone else in the room to pull me off of that guy. I was like, oh, you're going to have to stand here because if this guy says what I think he's going to say, I'm going to wrap my fingers around his neck and not stop until they meet each other. Until I can close my fist.
And I will be in the corner. I'm not stopping.
I'll applaud you on. I mean, why doesn't the guy simply come out and say there's a sucker born every minute?
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. If he came out and said, this is not intended to be a factual statement, at least, you know.
But even like what Tom says, if he came out and said, yeah, I'm a jerk, you know, I did all this, I scammed you, I got you, and he came out and admitted he was a villain, I'd have more respect for him.
Yeah, I got you, but you fell right into it. You should know that if somebody offers you a diamond ring for a nickel, you've only yourself to blame when you lose your 5 cents.
You get what you pay for.
But that's
You trusted me.
But going down and getting a Gucci instead of a Gucci. You sort of know that you're getting the ripoff. If he would have put himself out as I'm this type of guy, that actually is better if you think about it. Like he's like I'm doing color recreations.
You know what? He probably would have gotten further if he came. I'm doing recreations of this. I really did this myself, but these are my recreations.
Yeah.
Someone else's work. People would have bought them
knowing that they were not the thing.
And someone would have come along and like, if he's that clever, a mimic would have come along and says, I need this kind of style for this kind
right.
of work. I'll give you some work. The industry has done that before.
Yes, I remember in the 90s, there was the Tom McFarlane clones that were out there.
Oh,
clones.
Yeah.
They were all clones. They were imitating other people's artwork, and they got work because their stuff looked like...
And they were cheap.
Popular. Ah, yes. So it's astounding that he's, like, playing this off the way he is.
Yeah, well, I got one better for you. Back in the day, I don't remember the 70s or the 80s, they would have these record offers on TV with all these top hits. And as you're listening to the spiel, they say really quick, they get it in really quick, a great version of Z's album, but it sounded like some, people bought them thinking that these were the original artists, but they had this little guy who talks the fastest. He's in the Guinness, does it sound like, I said it,
Yeah, cover versions are outtakes.
Yeah, that's outtakes. Exactly. But it gets better. I got this.
Oh my!
Yes, it does. It does.
We could do a whole show on this guy.
We are. We're doing.
Yes.
Well, like I said, this is a. Big,
no, I'm not complaining.
News
I'm
item.
Not complaining.
I want this guy on the show.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I'll need to be in handcuffs.
Well, he won't be here, hopefully.
Yeah, yes.
He'll be smart enough to call in.
If you remember, we also reported that Dwayne McDuffie had died, a great comic book writer and an artist in his own right.
Very suddenly, actually.
Yeah. So the next question was, just after Dwayne McDuffie died, you, stating this, Mr. Jerkenstein,
killed him. This is what got him.
Mr. Jerkenstein stated that you enjoyed working with him. You have never worked with him. And then his reply was, I did work with Dwayne McDuffie.
I was in the world. He was in the world. So
and
you
I
can say that we worked
city.
In, I worked
you know,
in it, the same
this,
world.
This isn't that far off. That's the point. That's the sad thing. He goes, I did work with him. At least I considered working with him because he gave me pointers. A couple of years ago at a con, I was doing fan sketches, and one fan asked me for a sketch of Luke Cage, Power Man, Black Hero, Muscles. Dwayne McDuffie was going around the floor, and I had met him before, so he came up to me, and he looked over my shoulder to see what I was drawing. He sees me doing this Luke Cage, and he started giving me advice, like a real collaboration. Dwayne was telling me little subtle things. I can tell
like
he really
you
enjoyed
draw.
It.
Yeah, that head's way too big for that body. Oh, so that means I've done work with Sean Chan and Bernard Chang. That means I've done work with Don Perlin. I've worked with all the greats in the industry because they came along and collaborated with me.
Little subtle things. You keep that up, I'm throwing you in jail.
Yeah, stop doing that.
So, he goes on and says, I could tell he was really enjoying it, and it was one of the best pieces I ever drew. I wish I had kept it. Actually, Dwayne told me that he was so good that he wished he had it, and of course, I never regret not giving it to him. But that experience is one of the best memories I have, and I'm always going to cherish it. That, to me, was working with Dwayne McDuffie, because he guided me, and we collaborated, and all I said was that it was a pleasure working with him. I mean, nobody can prove that it didn't happen, you know?
This guy's a pathological liar. That's a pathological liar.
So it's like,
I mean, I'm doing him more credit than he deserves by diagnosing what his issue is.
So
he's pathological.
I'm guessing that this is like if we worked, how can I say, we worked on a play, right? Uh-huh. And some famous guy was in the audience and he saw us. And after the show, he goes, oh, you know, not so bad, but maybe next time you should turn right and start turning left. I worked with the famous guy. That's the collaboration.
That's what I said. I worked with Sean Penn. I worked with Don Perlin. I've worked with a lot of industry greats who looked at my work and said, maybe you do this instead of that. So I've worked with them.
Yeah, see? So you can go out there and be like, you work.
I'm going out tomorrow.
You put these names out there. You worked with them.
Yeah. That's going on my resume.
A friend of mine.
I mean, hell, Charlie, you've worked with all, based on this logic.
Oh, my God.
You worked with so many people.
I worked with a plethora of stars. We collaborated left and right.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it that way, I've worked with just about everybody who ever had a gold or platinum record in the 50s, simply because I either played their records or because I ran the board for an interview.
Yeah, that was a collaboration. You see that? That's amazing. All right, so in closing.
In closing, he's a crook.
I'm not as bad as the internet has made me out to be. I know I might have made some mistakes and all, but I'm just a decent guy who's trying to make an artist. I want to say what I'm guilty of. I can be a man and admit it. It's just making innocent mistake of not writing that the art was tribute art. The word is homages.
These are purposeful misleadings. You don't accidentally mislead someone into thinking that you're a man when you're actually a woman. That's a deliberate misdirection. Okay, it doesn't work that way. It literally doesn't work that way. If you're a guy and someone thinks you're a girl, that's probably because you dressed up like a woman and told the guy you're a woman and stood far enough away for him to not know for certain and think you're a woman. So you can't go, oh, he just misunderstood me. I just had a dress on that day. I never said that I was a woman. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
This is, what was the comedian? I forget who the comedian was, but they're like, you know, if I dress up like a cop, and I go and stand on a cop corner, and I have a gun and everything, and then someone comes to me and says, hey, police officer. Like,
that's women dress women dress slutty.
Yeah.
It's like,
just because, you know,
just because I dress like this does not mean I'm cheap and easy. It's like,
right.
Well, if I dress like a cop,
I'm not really a cop. Well, you got a shield and a... No, I'm not really a cop.
You're not a slut, but you're wearing a slut's uniform.
This $100 bill is really only a tribute to a $100 bill, Mr. Secret Service Man. So why are you pointing the big 38 special at me?
So he says, I apologize to whoever was hurt.
Right, but I was never, that goes a long way.
But I was never trying to steal. I see a lot of artists doing tributes to famous covers and stuff. And, you know, fans like these things because it's like a tribute to what came before. But in a fresh new style.
You have to, in order to do a tribute, you have to be an established artist in the first place. In which case, an artist such as, like, perhaps Jim Lee can do a recreation of a cover or a reinterpretation of a cover, that Jack Kirby did or that John Byrne did. From 10, 15 years earlier, okay? You can't be a nobody and redraw a Jim Lee cover and say, oh, it's an homage to Jim Lee, especially if you slap your own name on it. It's ridiculous. At that point, you're getting into you're infringing on intellectual property. You know, it's illegal. What the guy was doing was illegal. I am unaware. Okay, if that is now a new trend in the comic book universe where fans come along and redraw. Everybody redraws something that they love, but to come along and try to sell a recreation, I am not aware of that being a trend. I could just be misinformed. That could actually be a trend. So I'm not going to say, well, that's BS because this guy couldn't possibly have done that. But
well, from what I've seen, what they do is they do the recreation, and they always write, they sign a name, but they put down after the previous artist.
It's the most disingenuous thing I've ever seen. I don't understand why anybody would do that. If you just get your own, you could get a copy. If you're content not to get the original,
just make a photocopy.
Yeah, then make a photocopy of it. Why would you not be able to get the original, you know, John Byrne, and then go to, you know, John Bly and get him to draw you a copy? It doesn't make you it makes no sense.
Some people just go in for that because even though it's to use the term from my industry, a cover version, it is still something that someone worked on with it still is original art, as opposed to just being a photograph or a photocopy. And if the guy, and if you really have a mind like a spiral staircase, who knows? Maybe the guy who does it will one day really hit it big, and then when he finally bites the big one, you might have something potentially valuable.
You know, Tom's just changed my mind. It's reverse. I've completely reversed it.
Really?
The guy's not it. The guy is disingenuous and whatever you want to call him.
Okay.
But he's not the bad guy. The people are the bad guys. The people are idiots. Here's the thing. If you want original art, there's no shortage of original art.
Right.
Some schmo who's paid $200 to get an Artist Alley table could sit there all day long and draw pictures of anything he wants. Pictures, you know, characters that he's created, you know, picture of the sun or whatever. Right. If someone wanted an original piece of artwork, they would come along and buy it. Okay? Here's the thing. People cannot decide whether they like something or not unless they recognize it as something else that was great or if someone told them that it's something important.
All right?
So, you could have come along, you could have bought an original piece of artwork from the actual artist.
Right.
But since you're not going to pay for it because you don't recognize it, even though it's good, it's just as good as anything else that you would see, you don't recognize it, you don't understand it, so you're not going to shell out your money to get it because there's nothing in it to tell you that it's brilliant. You're going to allow that person to mislead you by drawing something that you've already seen or something that you're familiar with, and then suddenly the synapses fire and you go, oh, I've seen that before, that must be great, and now I'm about to get my hands on the original, I beat the system, I shocked the wizard, I'm great, I'm the greatest thing ever. And you get scammed, and you deserve it. You should make up your own mind what's good or bad. If we were all accustomed to doing this, then none of the artists who are trying to make their way in the world would be inspired to be disingenuous and start imitating other artists. They'd all feel free to express themselves in their own way, and then people would come along and decide and hold court right in front of them as to whether their work is good enough or not to buy. But you gotta resort to these tricks because people are too dumb to make up their own mind about something.
You mean that that picture of Mona Lisa I bought on 42nd and Broadway is not the real thing?
You know what, Charlie? I'm not going to say it's not the real thing, but I strongly suspect that that you got scammed. I can't know for certain, but I have a strong suspicion.
Well, you know, the guy called it, it's a picture of Mona Lisa Ann. I don't know.
I hate to tell you this, Charlie, but I took a good look at it, and it's not called the Mona Lisa. It's called the Moaning Lisa.
It's a porn. You can get a porn painting.
Yes.
Can you notice what she's holding in her lap?
Okay.
I think we're ready for our break.
I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that I told the witch doctor you didn't love me true. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me now. And then the witch doctor he gave me this advice. He said that you've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went up and found myself a guy that's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy that's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you, baby. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Come on in. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with King from the Mayor's show. It's Mark Torres speaking, along with Charlie Saladino, who just ran out to get his own news item, and Hassan Gao, who's sitting across from him, still amazed at
reading the article.
The article about Mr. Jurgenstein. But this week, just wanted to do a quick little wrap up of the Big Apple WizardCon, which
The great thing is, I do have some indie work coming. This is Jurgenstein. I do have some indie work coming up, and I think if people are fair, they will see it, and it's gonna blow their minds. He's got indie work coming out that's gonna blow our minds,
that's
right?
What he says.
So give it a chance. You know, the bashing has really hurt me, which it should, because you know you're a disingenuous little so and so. The bashing has really hurt me. With my contacts at DC and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's still pushing the fact that he's in with DC. So independence might be where I take it for a while.
I don't know.
Okay? I got to think. There's some collectors out there who...
Yeah, keep on reading. Keep on reading.
We're going to want a comic created and drawn by me due to all the controversy. Should I... not, like, cater to the market just because some people don't like me? I'm like, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah, so actually, at the convention, I went around talking to a couple people, and I actually asked them about this guy. And
Did you really go around? Did you really even go to the convention at all?
I did.
Or did you stand outside and say, "Hey, you guys are from the convention?" They said, "Yeah." And you said, "I talked to the guys from the convention."
So I went there. I was in Manhattan, so technically, so I worked with the WizardCon. And
it was on the Eastern Seaboard, so I mean, I was around.
Yeah, so I worked with James Marsters and Tom Felton, and I was working with Harry Potter. It's like my association.
Are you in the 8th Harry Potter film?
I'm in the 9th Harry Potter film. That's the one.
Oh my god, I can't wait to see it. I want free tickets.
Me and a bro.
If you see it, you would have collaborated.
Yeah, that's right. You collaborated on it. So I actually went around asking a couple of artists about this guy, and some of them knew who he was, and some of them actually interacted in Tulsa, and they're like, you know, this guy, he's just a scammer. He's like the worst of the worst you could possibly imagine. And,
no.
Yeah, you know, I got some insight on how...
You know, eventually, he's not even a good one, because eventually any grifter is going to come along and realize that the jig is up, and then bail. You know, you get out. You don't sit there and try to reinforce your position by explaining BS with more BS.
Yeah.
You know, you cut your losses. So this guy's not even... I'm telling you, he's pathological. Because no one would try to claim that they're innocent about something that they're clearly guilty of.
That's
just like OJ. I'm gonna find the real artists of these books, and then I'm gonna clear my name.
I'm staying up from the
I worked with OJ because I watched the trials.
I did. Yeah, he collaborated.
He collaborated
on the jury.
Yeah. I worked with him because I watched the Hertz commercial every now and then. Me and OJ are tight.
In a way, it sort of reminds me of the so-called artists who were working what they called, quote, found art back in the 60s. And the most prime example of which I can think of is somebody went into the Museum of Modern Art, walked up to a fire extinguisher, and put a plaque above it that said, "Fire extinguisher by so-and-so and so-and-so." Then they even made their own postcards and secretly put them in the gift shop of this fire extinguisher. And every time the management would pry the plaque off the wall, this person would come back and put another plaque on.
There's the word surveillance camera.
This is before there was a lot of surveillance cameras.
Oh,
but
my God.
Eventually, they just gave up, and they said, "All right, looks like we got another piece of art we didn't know about," and actually got into the catalog. The one big fear was that if there, God forbid, there was a fire, no one would use the fire extinguisher because they thought it was just a piece of art.
So going back, I did go to the WizardCon. I ran into a couple of new people. Had met some old guys. I met Brian Kong, who's a friend of the show. Has done the show a couple of times. It's the same old WizardCon. It was the Big Apple convention, and the Wizard took over for them. So it was in the same area, the Penn Pavilion, right next to Madison Square Garden, and it was very crowded. You know, it was one of the best shows, because I was talking to a lot of artists, and they said it was one of the best shows. What I thought was a little weird how they decided to put all the celebrities right by the entrance, so you get a nice, good old giant mob of the people who want to get in, people who want to leave, and all the celebrities all together. It's like a big, giant mob, and I was like,
I had a good idea. I had something fairly negative to say about that, but they do that on purpose. Because any reporters can kind of come along and see it's hectic and chaotic, and you know, that means that it's been that means that they've sold out, or it's indicative of the fact that they might have sold out all the tickets and they run out of floor space.
So
now the show is a major success.
So
they kind of plan for everything to be kind of clustered in the
vestibule. Right.
Yeah, so that they know that the reporters or the investigating reporters aren't going to get too much further than the lobby if they're not seriously interested.
Right.
And if they see it's a mob, they're going to go, "Oh, this show's a huge success," and then that will inform their assessment of everything that they see after that once they get inside.
Oh, okay.
I wonder what the fire chief thinks about that.
It was hinted that, you know, had the fire chief been by, he would have shut it down.
Shut it down.
How It was
very crowded in there. You know, the business was good. A lot of people were upstairs, too. It was very, very crowded. Unfortunately, yeah. The air conditioner was not working, so I feel sorry for the people who were in the back, who I ran into, like, it's so hot in here, and there's no fan, no air conditioner. They had a giant fan for the stars, but the mob of wall people were covering the fans, so they were not getting any air at all. I ran into Red Silo Media, headed by Erica Jang. She's doing a new book called Azteca. Hopefully, she'll be a guest of ours soon. And I ran into Mark Maz, who actually did the show with us, and is a really cool guy. He runs Atlas Unleash Entertainment. And Rebecca Lane from GraphicAnime.com, which I felt sorry for her the most, because she was sitting in the corner in the heat. And it was weird, because she was... she collaborated with an actress who's a porn star, and they're doing like a comic book, much like Rob Liefeld did, like get a model, and the model's going to be the comic book character. Mm-hmm. And she was just sitting there, and she really didn't speak that much, which I thought was weird, because I was talking to the other person, I'm like, "Don't you speak?" She's like, "I'm just really tired." And every once in a while, somebody came by and like, "Oh, that's you," and she's like, "Yeah, that's me." she really wasn't having it, because she
probably thought there'd be air conditioning.
Maybe so.
Spooky girl.
Yeah, crazy person.
Dumb porn star. What did you expect?
That's me.
You expect there to be conditioned air? What is this, 2011? This is anyway. You think you're in the future?
But the panels were air conditioner, so that was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, the panels.
I actually only managed to go to one of the panels with James Marsters. And
is he talking about anything new that he's doing?
He's talking about Caprica. He's working on a music.
Caprica's over.
No, he said there's going to be a new series based on that.
Oh boy.
Torchwood. I think he's on Torchwood. He mentioned that he's doing that. He's going to be going as the third season, if I'm not mistaken. And he's working on a musical project. But what got me the most about James Marsters, originally, like, the first impression I got of him, like, oh, this guy's a jerk. But then he just seemed very quirky and very reserved to himself, kind of shy. But he was very nice and sweet to the audience. And there was one part where, you know, he had the line for the people to go up to talk to, you know, give him questions, and this little girl about 9 or 10 years old, she asked them a question about if he and Sarah Michelle Gellar were actually dating while they filmed Buffy. And he was like, oh no, his job was to make sure that Sarah Michelle Gellar had the worst time ever, to make her life miserable on the set, because while they were good people and creative people, he really didn't mesh with them after they said cut. So he didn't really work with them well as people. But he said, you know, the craft we did was really good. It was like the perfect union of all the actors and
stuff.
So
he said his job was to make her miserable?
Yeah, because he's like, you know, after he didn't have anything else to do, so he just, like, bothered her, practical jokes and everything. Mostly because everyone else on the set was like, oh, don't get Sarah Michelle Gellar mad at you. And he's like, you're not going to fire me, so I'm going to go over there and make her life miserable. And the moderator was... He was like, well, let's try a little something. And he asked the girl to come to the stage, and she walked up, you know, a little girl. And he said, okay, we're going to do a scene from Buffy. And he goes, all right, you be Buffy, you know, to the little girl. And he goes, you be Spike. And he goes, we're going to have a scene, and you're going to, you know, profess your love to her. And so instead of sitting there, he gets up, and he walks right around in front of her, in my microphone, and he goes, Buffy, I love you, but you have to be strong, but you're not strong. And then he hands her the mic, and she goes, I know. And he takes it back, and he goes, but, you know, we'll be together forever and everything. And then he hugs her, and this poor little girl's eyes almost popped out of her head because she was so excited. She did everything she could to stop from screaming her head off. You know, and I was like, wow, that was really nice of him. Yeah. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah. I met him, he was at one of the Chicago cons, like, years and years ago, when it was, like, the mania was still happening.
Right.
And I went up to get his autograph for a friend of mine, and I wanted him to sign two things, but the guy with the, and I didn't have my wizard badge on.
Right.
So the guy said, there's only one thing. And I said, well, I'd like him to sign two things. He's like, all right, and he kicked me off, he pushed me away from the table because he didn't know who I was. And James Morrison actually got up and ran over to me and shook my hand.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, thank you for the autograph or whatever. So he was, he always struck me as a really down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
I worked with him because you talked about him in the same studio.
I knew he was going to go somewhere with that. I'm like,
why not? You know, this guy is.
Well, I realized when he shook my hand that we were switching.
Collaboration.
Collaborating.
Yeah, and that his mom was really my mom, and my mom was really his mom.
Right.
So I straightened all that out after that.
Yeah.
And I found my family, and everything's been good since
then. And he sort of insulted Chicago. But somebody asked him, one of the projects he's working on, the filming in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, what do you think of Toronto? He goes, well, it's like what Detroit wants to be. And the people in the audience were like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, you know, it's like they're more of a kind of a renaissance-y type thing.
Wait, you said he insulted Chicago.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wasn't
Chicago
he in New York?
Wanted to be.
You said Detroit just now.
Oh, sorry, Chicago. He said Chicago.
Okay.
Chicago.
All right.
Sorry.
You're confusing the people.
And like, he was like, you know, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know.
However, it's Detroit might be Chicago because they're both in the same country.
Yes.
So, in some sense, they might actually be the same place, and they've been lying to people all these time. According to
so he said Chicago is really it's what Toronto wants to be. And then, you know, they were asking follow-up questions from the audience. And he's like, well, you know, wasn't that great? And, you know, and he was just trying to explain what he was trying to get out that they were more like a renaissance of what, you know, it was like, that's what they aspire to me, that this is such a great place. Not that Chicago is bad, per se, but that this is their goal, what they're trying to reach, that they want to be nice and friendly. And they go, well, we're from Chicago. And then the whole audience was like, oh, no, stop talking. And the moderator was like, I'm not getting involved in this. And he just kind of shied away. And it was going back and forth about, and he was like, people don't read over there. And like, they're all like, oh, my God. They're like, stop talking. So that was very entertaining. Yeah, it was entertaining because I was all in the corner watching this go down.
I'm not going to get killed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, as the old saying goes, the difference between New York and Chicago is Chicago always tries to be like New York, but New York never tries to be like Chicago.
So it was.
That's true, though.
So it was. We're going to get angry. But it was.
Come here. It's New York. You're not going to do anything to me.
I'm the mayor of Chicago.
You were there once.
Because I rode a New York City subway.
Jerkesy science.
Yeah. And there was a.
Science. Is that what he yells out after he says something?
Jerkesy science.
Well, you know, I kind of do this. Jerkesy science. That's the nail in the coffin.
For now on.
As the
him and the board
sense.
Of chimpanzees are going to collaborate. Man, we're going to have we're gonna get some great movies this summer. Using Jerkesy science.
So, overall, in my opinion,
the con
did well. I met a couple of friends. I was kind of waiting on Charlie to show up.
Oh, my God.
But Charlie took a pill, and I didn't hear from him for 10 hours.
Not that I was doing drugs, but I...
not that kind of pill.
I was doing copious drugs, and I couldn't go to the convention.
Jerkesy science.
Yes. I took a pill, and next thing I know, me and Jimi Hendrix are jamming.
You know Jimi Hendrix?
Well, I...
They collaborated in a dream.
You know, we did collaborate, because one day I watched him on a film of Woodstock, and I sang the same song he sang.
You sang
so
with Jimi Hendrix?
I sang with him. Wow.
He went to a concert, listening to him, and I sang along.
Yeah.
We worked on the same thing.
You did a duet.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful ballad.
And we both kissed the sky together.
We don't kiss each other.
Yes.
So I was by myself. And I actually was telling people early on that Charlie was going to come with me.
Yes, but again, my doctor's orders, it was like,
he didn't come.
You cannot walk. I said,
but
I really can.
You did the radio show with Charlie. So Charlie was actually there because you were
collaborating. No, even better. He called me up and said, are you still alive?
I did.
My first response to that was, Thursday. I took this pill. I don't know.
So, Jimi Hendrix also said happy birthday to us.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Happy birthday.
Awesome.
Yes. I love Hendrix. Even after he's dead.
So that was my basic two cents of the con. It was pretty good. A little small, a little cramped, but they were very happy. I talked to a couple of inside people, very happy. There's a success in their minds. So I guess they'll be having many more in the future for the cons.
Yay.
But I know that Charlie has some news, and I want to give him 5 minutes.
It's not even going to take 5 minutes. And
really?
Tom may have heard something today because I was busy all day. So if something has changed, I apologize to LIPA. But did you read the article yesterday about the tribute they were going to have for this this young soldier, fallen soldier?
With the flags? Yes,
yeah,
I did.
And if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, Thienert, First Lieutenant Joseph Thienert, and they were having a tribute to him in Shelter Island, and people put flags on utility poles,
right.
And LIPA, who owned 19 of those poles, charged those people $5 a pole to put the flag on. And LIPA said, and
what
I love...
What does LIPA stand for? Is it
Long Island Power Authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows what we're
yeah.
talking about.
So, LIPA said... Let me just did it because I took it down. They said, we did not have a choice. Okay. Verizon, who owns 65 of those utility poles, waived the fee. How's that for a choice?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a difference, and I wish I could agree. But the thing of it is LIPA is chartered by New York State, and what it was is it's written into their charter. In other words, with the power of law, that anyone uses the polls, they have to charge for it. News, they said it's a stupid requirement. It should have been written so that it could be bent or ignored in special circumstances, but it really is there. Well, you know, it's just one of those cases that the law is an ass.
Yeah. You know what? This is the thing with me. go out to any utility pole now and see yard sale, this thing, that thing,
right.
Everything that's there. They put the American flag on a pole that they notice and that they want to charge $5 a pole to. I would have looked the other way and waived everything. That's about it.
Oh, all right. See, I don't know where to go for that. So I guess we'll do
it. No.
$5 a pole for how many poles did they?
They own 19 of those poles, LIPA.
So it's only 20. So that's like $100.
The total cost was $27 and some odd cents, and the American Legion paid for it.
Yeah. Right. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
But if they were doing $5 a pole, 19 poles, that would have been
$95.
Something
that
like that.
Crazy.
But anyway, yes, the American Legion paid for it. But, you know,
why charge
you.
Them?
Good
right.
job, Verizon.
It's
65
for a veteran.
Yeah.
So we're ready to wrap up the show. So I guess we're final thoughts is don't be Mr. Jerkenstein. WizardCon's good.
No, just make anything up as you see fit. Make it all up as you see fit. That's,
yeah.
That's the best way to deal with it.
I'm going to go out and do a mural.
So,
you know, it's going to be a stick figure. But
yeah, with Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Yeah. So that about does it for this week on A Cane from Radio. Join us next week right here on WGNV. If you missed any part of the show, you can go online to www.canefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. If you can't wait that long, you can go to places such as Podcast Brand and iTunes, and our show is up as soon as we hang up the show right here. And any of our news items are always on our Facebook page, and make sure you follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.